Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Political Cesspool Radio Program, a holiday weekend, 2 days past Thanksgiving. It's Saturday evening, November 26th, as I broadcast to you live from AM 1380 WLRM Radio in downtown Memphis, Tennessee. Also, of course, going out to our AM and FM affiliate stations on the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online to a worldwide audience of TPC fans at our official internet headquarters, thepoliticalcesspool.org. I want to thank my friend and co-host, Keith Alexander, for his contributions to the program during tonight's first hour. But now the time has come for us to move on to our featured guest of the evening, who I hope we'll be able to have on for the entire second hour. When the Political Cesspool board game comes out, or the Political Cesspool trivia game comes out, and, you know, we certainly hope this is going to come out, and the question is asked, what guest has logged more appearances on the broadcast than any other? The answer is tonight's guest, the National Director of the National Prayer Network, our good friend, Reverend Ted Pike. And he's logged those appearances for good reason. Ted, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks for having me again, James.
It's always my pleasure, that I can assure you. I know it's been a while since the last time you appeared. The last time you were on was a very big show, in fact. Hutton Gibson was on the program. And now we have you back. And, Ted, I'm a daily visitor to your website. You have so many great e-alerts that you pin, and I want to work through as many of them as we can with time allowed to us this hour. Let's just get started with the most recent one. You cover, I think, better than anyone else in the world, the phenomenon of Christian Zionism. That is, Christians such as me and you, Keith, Ted, and Keith, and the rest of the political cesspool hosting staff, for that matter, and the relationship that many modern-day churches say we're supposed to have with Israel, and you documented anew with the latest article on your website, Are Jews the Brothers of Christians? Basically, Ted, break that down for us.
Well, we've heard this line literally for generations, that there is a Judeo-Christian heritage which we as Christians share with our Jewish brethren. The idea is that Christians owe a tremendous debt of gratitude to the Jewish people for preserving God's plan of the ages thousands of years ago. And the obvious spin on that is that, having owed them so much, the least we can do is support the nation of Israel today unconditionally. The truth is, as I point out in this article, that only historically in the Bible, only the tiniest minority were actually faithful to Yahweh in times of apostasy, Baal worship, and foreign invasion, and so on, idolatry. And the truth is, we really owe a debt of gratitude only to the people like Elijah and Samuel and David and the great prophets, who often, going very counter to the vast majority of the Hebrews and Judeans of that time, stuck out their necks, stood up for God, were imprisoned, were beleaguered, were exiled, even thrown in. Jeremiah was thrown down into a miry well and would have died down there. And the vast majority, far above 99% of the Jews in Jerusalem at the time of Jeremiah were pagan, were idolaters, had no interest in preserving God's plan of the ages. In this article, I just clarify things like this, that, of course, in the pro-Israel, Israel first right now, the message is that we have a kindred heritage, and it's up to Christians now, especially in these times when Israel is under such criticism, to come to the aid of our spiritual brethren, the Jews. And, of course, the Bible says what the communion hath light with darkness. And in this article, I point out that actually the primary religious and ethical source of modern Judaism, the Babylonian Talmud, says that Jesus is now wallowing down in hell in boiling hot excrement. And what is he saying? He's saying, bless the Jews. They're the apple of God's eye. This is what the Talmud says about Jesus Christ. And I just ask in this article, how can we possibly consider the Talmudic, rabbinic, Orthodox Jews to be brethren of Christians when they actually believe such blasphemy?
Reverend Ted Pike, among other things, is a frequent critic of what I think can be described as the cult, the ever-growing cult, unfortunately, of Christian Zionism. This is a phenomenon, Ted, I think you'll agree, that really didn't manifest itself until the last 100 years, to be sure, but even more specifically, the last 50 to 60 years, this dispensationalist movement. You have to bless Israel in order to gain salvation, and all of this stuff we hear from politically correct preachers these days. This was not something that afflicted our faith in the 1950s and prior to that. It's relatively new phenomenon, but it's quite detrimental to that which we believe.
Well, it does go back. There was quite a courtship as the Jewish organizations, even as early as the 1915, the Bolshevik Revolution, and so on. There was an effort to enlist the evangelicals fairly early in the 20th century. And what was really happening in Russia as early as 1905 and even earlier than that was that the Jews of Eastern European Jewry really adopted Marxist socialist values. And as early as the 1905 Bolshevik Revolution, Jews predominated in efforts to overthrow the Tsar. And, of course, overwhelmingly predominated in the Bolshevik Revolution in 1917. But what this did, this total, almost total dedication to Marxism and the World Revolutionary Movement within Eastern European or Ashkenazi Jewry, what it did, what it created tremendous resistance, tremendous animosity against the Jews. And these were described as senseless anti-Semitic pogroms by the world Jewish community. And they, even as early as the beginning of the 20th century, they tried. The ADL came on the scene in 1911, created speakers bureaus that went out to the Christian evangelical churches. They played on the sympathy message very, very powerfully, enlisting Christians in favor of the Balfour Declaration and ultimately bringing them very strongly into the pro-Zionist fold. It's true, after Israel was established in 1948, this fanaticism, this cult-like worship of Israel has only intensified.
But, there's no doubt about it. The wheels were set into motion, prior to 48, to be sure. But I think, as you described it, inaccurately so, this fanaticism, this almost worship of Israel as if it was Christ himself, didn't catch on until the last few decades. But listen, everybody, we've got much more forthcoming with Reverend Ted Pike. You're not going to want to miss a single second of it. A lot more coming your way as the Political Cesspool continues this hour here on the Lubin News Radio Network. Stay tuned. All right, everybody, welcome back to the Political Cesspool Radio program. One of our favorite guests of all time on the show tonight, Reverend Ted Pike, and I want to take the time to remind you that the freedom-saving outreach of Reverend Pike and his National Prayer Network is solely supported by the sale of books, videos, and your financial report. And let me tell you, there are some great videos and books available in his library at truthtellers.org. All gifts are tax-deductible. I encourage you to check it out. As I said, there's a very select few number of websites that I place among my daily reads. Truthtellers.org is certainly one of them. You visit it once, you'll know why. Since November 2nd, we were talking about it in the first hour, Reverend Pike has added a couple of e-alerts pertaining to the phenomenon of Christian Zionism. Again, that was the topic of our first hour. If you'd like to read and learn more, they're there for your digestion at truthtellers.org. But I want to shift on. Again, he's got so many great articles there. I don't want to spend all of our time talking about that, as important as it is. I want to move on to a few other matters. I came to hear about Ted just a few weeks ago, the new film 180, and you've written about this recently as well. Yeah, the ADL has attacked this pro-life film as anti-Semitic. And as we know, anti-Semitic in most all cases. Now, there are some people that are just truly, you know, they have hate in their hearts. And, you know, every so often the shoe fits. But much more often what happens is if you oppose Israel or anything that they are doing objectively or from a biblical or Christian point of view, you get denounced as anti-Semitic. It's just a shut-up word. It's meant to either back you into a corner where you'll retreat from the battlefield, or at the very least, it's used as a shut-up word to encourage other people not to associate with you. This is their tactic in this name-calling. Anyway, 180, a pro-life film, is attacked as being anti-Semitic. It's kind of like Mel Gibson. You know, when you do something that the ADL doesn't like, they call you anti-Semitic. When you do something that they think they would like, they still call you anti-Semitic. You know, when he got arrested, he said a few things that they didn't approve of. He's an anti-Semite. He tries to make a movie that glorifies Jewish tradition, and he's still an anti-Semite. You just can't win with him. Break down what's going on with this movie 180, Ted.
Well, Ray Comfort is a staunch anti-abortion pro-lifer, and he's made a movie which has really gone viral on the internet. It's 180. It means we need to do a 180 turn and go the opposite direction that we have been concerning the murdering of the unborn. Now, he is not enlightened about the true facts about the Holocaust, and what he does is to promote the 6 million figure of the Holocaust as a great reality and great tragedy and all of that. Compared to abortion, he says, basically, if you object to the Holocaust murdering of innocent Jews, you should object to an even greater Holocaust, which is, I guess, in excess of 54 million here in the United States of aborted babies.
Right.
And Abe Paxman has been taking very great umbrage against anybody who feels worthy to compare their particular Holocaust, whether it's 100 million Gentiles killed under Russia or 5 million kulaks killed or the Armenian massacre. Oh, this is very terrible to compare Gentile murder, Gentile genocide, Gentile suffering to the holy Jews. And you see, what is so extremely offensive to Foxman and what Comfort did is Foxman has insulted Judaism by comparing the death of 54 million fetuses, as Foxman describes them, fetuses, to the deaths of 6 million Jews. And he says, this is an unworthy comparison. This is not parallel. And why is he saying that? It's because basically Comfort is saying that a Gentile life is worth the same as a Jewish life. And this is just outrageous to Foxman. And
folks,
what I do in this article is I include many quotations from the Talmud, from the Zohar, or the Jewish Kabbalah, stating in the clearest possible language that indeed, as an Orthodox Jew, Foxman believes that only Jews are really holy, really human, and these goyim fetuses are unworthy. No matter how many millions of them are killed, they are still unworthy to be compared to the suffering of innocent Jews in the Holocaust. This is ultimate racism. I mean, you can't get any more racist than this.
No, Ted, again, God bless you, brother, because you break it down so wonderfully. I mean, how could anyone argue with that? And so many people, unfortunately, are cowed by the ADL, which is a lavishly funded organization. They've got a net worth in the hundreds of millions, and they routinely apply their pressure to shut down righteous debate. And so you see it here, as Ted just mentioned. Abe Foxman, the director of the ADL, has been working for years, and I'm reading straight from Ted's article right now, to defame Christian conservatives as anti-Semites. Ted and I both belong to the club of individuals who have specifically been singled out by Abe Foxman as anti-Semites. And why are we anti-Semitic? Well, we're anti-Semitic in his mind because we objectively oppose things like this that come with his fingerprints. You know, and another thing about Ray Comfort, who again, he takes Foxman's line about World War II and presents it as fact. And he says, but look, if you oppose the 6 million Jews that were said to be murdered by the Nazis in the Holocaust, then you must also oppose this. And that's a point, obviously, that Ted has already made. But the kicker to this is that Ray Comfort, the man who produced this pro-life film 180, is also Jewish himself. So I guess you have to give Foxman credit on that. At least he doesn't discriminate. They've got the Holocaust trademarked, and if you don't use it in their sanctioned form, you're going to get the Pike Edwards treatment, even if you happen to be Jewish, right, Ted?
Well, what I point out is, This is really really twisted logic on Foxman's part, because you would think that the Jewish supremacists like Foxman and ADL would be very encouraging of people who want to dramatize the worst kind of carnage or genocide or tragedy and use the Holocaust, the so-called Holocaust, as a reference point and kind of a criteria of the magnitude of evil. Not so. What Foxman is saying is that our Jewish Holocaust is off limits to Eugoyim, even as a reference point. Now, it is so holy, so sacrosanct. And in fact, several years ago, there was a movie by a Jewish filmmaker who actually went with Foxman to the Ukraine, and they met with the leaders of the Ukraine. And Foxman, in no sudden uncertain terms, laid down the law to them. He said, we don't even want you to mention the 5 million kulaks who were killed, who were starved to death, encircled and starved to death by Stalin as a part of your national heritage or your national tragedy. We want you in Ukrainian school systems and government and media to only emphasize Jewish suffering and how much the Jews have suffered. And believe it or not, those Ukrainian leaders agreed that they would underplay their own loss of 5 million kulaks who were slaughtered by Stalin just for the crime of wanting to grow vegetables in their own gardens rather than in the collectives.
Ladies and gentlemen, again, if you're enjoying the commentary you're hearing tonight during this exquisite interview with Reverend Ted Pike, take the time to read his writings yourself at truthtellers.org. Support his work. We've got much more forthcoming during the last couple of segments of this hour, as our interview with Ted Pike will continue right after these words from our sponsor. You know, Ted, it's obvious that the radical Zionists accuse people like Ray Comfort, like you, like me, like others, of being anti-Semitic. Because I guess they believe it will either turn us into pariahs or make us retreat from the battlefield. You know, and again, you know, Ted, you list in your own mission statement that your goal here is to bless Israel with truth, and that's where all of this is coming from, is from a truth from a Christian perspective. Objective criticism of Israel should never be labeled as anti-Semitic, and we fight against these defamations.
Well, absolutely. And I can say in the clearest conscience with St. Paul that my heart's desire is that Israel be saved. And if you're familiar with my biblical eschatology, I always emphasize, on one hand, I must criticize Jewish supremacists like Foxman, just as the Hebrew prophets criticized the evil Jewish leaders of their day. But I do believe, according to Romans 9 through 11, that God does have a destiny for a repentant remnant at the second coming of Christ. I'd like to just say one thing more about about this aspersion by Foxman that Ray Comfort is dishonoring the Jewish dead and so on. The question has to be asked, what is Foxman's strategy? Why is he so intent on minimizing the deaths of 54 million babies to such a degree that he says that can't even be logically compared to the the deaths of 6 million Jews. What's he doing? What's his goal in this? Well, it's very simple. He wants to begin to inculcate in the thinking of the Goyim that indeed Jews are superior. They're smarter. They're more creative. They're genius level. They are meant to rule. They cannot be compared to the lowly Gentile cattle and the beasts who are meant to serve. And what he's wanting to do is to create an acceptance, a general tacit acceptance among the American people, the Gentile population, getting them ready for the reality of an increasing proliferation of Jewish supremacists in all aspects of government, federal, local, military, media, finance, everything. This is part of this creeping Zionist New World Order that may not be declared in an instant, but it will be gradually created by the overlay of Jewish control, Jewish leadership, and in all aspects of society. And so what he's doing, he's saying that don't you Gentiles think that you can even be compared in your humanity, your spirituality, your human dignity, your worth, in your basic value of your life to the holy Jews? The Jews are a rulership class. You better get used to it. And let's start now by you desisting from even the presumption of comparing any amount of Gentile suffering to the sufferings of the holy Jews.
And as you so accurately stated, Ted, if racism is still alive and well in 2011, that is the textbook definition
it
of it.
Yeah, we're seeing, I've written extensively in previous articles, how that in Israel today, the ultra-Orthodox, the Hasidic, Kabbalistic, ultra-Orthodox Jews and their fanatical rabbis are going hog wild in pronouncements against the inhumanity of the Gentile, the right of the Jews to actually kill Arab children, Gentile children, to drive them from the land, to cleanse Israel of them in order to build the temple and bring in the Messianic age and so on. The Foxman is an Orthodox Jew, and that is not widely known, but in his book, it was written in 2004, entitled Never Again, the New Anti-Semitism, he makes it very clear that he is an Orthodox Jew, a believer in both the Talmud and the Kabbalah, and promotes those. And in fact, he says that back in the 1990s, when he was a member of an Orthodox congregation in Teaneck, New Jersey, he in protest, he left the Orthodox synagogue in great anger because he claimed they were not praying for the state of Israel as passionately as they should be. Now, we think of Foxman as a secular Jew, you know, profane, promoting homosexuality and pornography and giving the Hefners freedom awards, free speech awards, and all that kind of stuff. At heart, he is an Orthodox Jew, and this condescension toward the lowly status of the Gentile, in which the Gentile doesn't even compare in dignity and humanity to the Jew, this is the essence of Talmudic and Kabbalistic ethics. It is utter racism, and as far as I'm concerned, what I'm dedicated to doing, and I think I probably do this more than anybody else, is to take every opportunity to hold up Foxman, to skewer him when I can, to bring him into disrepute. And my goal, of course, is not literally to drive Foxman from this country, but to intellectually strip him of any kind of credibility so that he will become a laughingstock among the American people and of the world.
You know, and Ted, we've talked about Foxman. I think the listeners of this program, to be sure, more than the average American, understand his character or lack thereof. We understand his tactics, the baseless accusations that he hurls against people who try to objectively criticize his tactics. But to an extent, you almost grow accustomed to the fact that, you know, you can expect these things from Foxman and his ilk. You can expect these sort of attacks. And what disturbs me, and we only have a couple of minutes left in this segment, and I don't want to spend a lot of time on this, because as important as it is, you have so many other important articles that I'd like to get to, and time is beginning to run short. But what's disturbing is that you have talked a great deal about Foxman's, again, character or lack thereof. And it seems as though members of, I hate to call them conservatives, because in many ways they don't seem to be, but members of the conservative establishment seem to want to curry favor with the Abe Foxmans.
Yes.
By labeling, in your case, you, Ted, as anti-Semitic. And I guess they figure that if they can show that they're not as bad as Ted Pike, you know, yeah, they agree that Ted Pike's an anti-Semitic, but by God, we're not.
Yeah.
They can keep the guns trained from themselves. And, of course, I'm speaking to the incident that you've done many radio interviews on already, Joseph Farah of WorldNet Daily joining in the dog pile with Ted, with Abe Foxman and others. Tell the folks what's going on there.
Well, I had to object strongly when I received an email that Joe Farah, the executive, the owner and editor of WorldNet Daily, was calling me a liar and an anti-Semite. And I first knew about this when he got in touch with Jeff Rentz and said, he says, basically, what would you do if I were allowing lying editorials like Ted Pike is writing about me? And So I received a subsequent email from someone who had documented that Farah was actually calling me a liar and an anti-Semite. I made a video of that. It's posted right on the homepage at truthtellers.org. But I also took Farah to task for actually encouraging the credibility, recommending the credibility of the Anti-Defamation League to his 7 million monthly visitors. This is unconscionable because Farah has opposed hate crimes laws in the federal hate crimes bill over the last 6 years or so, and yet who has publicly boasted of being the mastermind behind the federal hate crimes bill and Canadian bills and hate crimes laws worldwide except ADL Europe, ADL Canada, ADL Australia, ADL United States. Hate crimes laws start with the ADL. And yet here's Farah. As soon as Farah wants to criticize the critics of Israel, he sends his people for the ultimate guru on what is anti-Semitism. He sends them over to Abe Foxman for the correct definition.
Ted, hold it right there. I'd like to allow you to finish your point there. Ted has written many articles about this, again, all of which you can read at truthtellers.org. Why don't you take the time to familiarize yourself with Ted's site during this commercial break, and we'll be back with the man himself right after these words. Stay tuned, everybody. We're wrapping it up with Ted Pike in just a moment.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
I love that clip that the network displayed of Ron Paul. It's a great video. If you've not yet seen it on YouTube, I encourage you to check it out. We're going to be talking about Ron Paul a little bit during the third and final hour of tonight's broadcast. Coming up after this segment, we're also going to be reading with you George Washington's Thanksgiving Proclamation, something that every American should share with their family during this week each year, and much, much more before the program concludes. But first, one final segment with Reverend Ted Pike, my good friend and yours. Check out his work. Contribute to his work. It's well-deserving, and I don't say that about very many people on this program, as you well know. But Ted Pike and truthtellers.org deserves your support. Check it out. Visit it daily. You won't regret it. We've been talking to Ted about a lot of things tonight. Most recently, we were talking again about the disturbing trend that seems to be manifesting itself amongst so-called establishment conservatives or mainstream conservatives. Joe Farah, I guess, believes he's going to curry favor with the radical left, the Zionists like ADL and Abe Foxman by skewering or attempting to skewer other good people. as anti-Semites, joining on the bandwagon there. Ted, you were speaking to that just before the last break.
Well, yeah, that's kind of a trend now. Certainly John Hagee has set that precedent. Here's a man who's supposed to be speaking for Christian conservative values, but his Christians United for Israel organization, with its huge rallies around the country, incorporates the leadership, the co-directorship of the right-hand executive director of Arlen Specter's organization and his Senate office. Arlen Specter was probably one of the number one supporters of the federal hate crimes bill from 1998 all the way through, and his right-hand man, his chief of staff is the word I'm trying to find, chief of staff Brog, David Brog, Jewish supremacist, Hagee has joined together with literally the forces of Antichrist, Inspector, and Brog. And also, Hagee promotes Lieberman, Senator Lieberman, head of the the Senate Homeland Security Committee. And this pattern is being seen in which, in fact, there's another organization right there in Memphis. It's led by Lori, is it Cardoza Moore? And she is giving an award this February to Joe Farah. It's the Ed McAteer Tree of Life Award. She has a big movie out now, and this movie uses the title from Abe Foxman's book Never Again. It's in fact the theme of her presentation at the NRB convention this February there in your hometown in Memphis.
Right.
Is Never Again. The new anti-Semitism is what she is promoting with her new movie. And what the new right is doing is, you see, the Israel First Christians are really quite ideologically barren. All they can do is just act as sycophants, flattering Israel and ignoring their massive injustices and so on. Hagee and Farah and Beck, of course, are just intellectually impoverished. And so what they're doing is they're saying, well, in effect, let's go over to ADL, which is the acknowledged expert on anti-Semitism, expert on those who criticize Israel. Let's elevate ADL as our teacher now on anti-Semitism. And I predict that we're going to see a stronger tendency for the evangelicals to forget the fact that the ADL was behind the hate laws in America, 45 U.S. state hate laws, the federal hate law, Canadian, and so on. They're going to get an amnesia about that, and they're going to follow Farah and Cardoza Moore and others like Hagee in making a place for the teaching of the ADL in the religious right.
Folks, again, you can check it out. Read more about it at truthtellers.org, and hopefully there will come the day where people who share at least some common ground will stop putting the knife in one another's backs, and certainly that's not something that we participate in, but unfortunately so many others, and I've had the misfortune of a couple of dealings with Farah myself. But it's an interesting story, and you should read it at truthtellers.org. One more that I'd like to cover, Ted, before time runs out this evening. And again, folks, we're just really scratching the surface of what truthtellers.org has to offer for you in covering these handful of stories that we've been able to bring to your attention with the author themselves, itself, Reverend Ted Pike. You wrote a good story. I'm going back a couple of months now to the end of October. You referenced another friend of ours, Brother Nathaniel Kapner, talking about big Christian families. You don't see this so much anymore as you did a couple of generations ago, and how that could certainly be our salvation. Ted, talk about the synopsis of that article.
Yes, Nathaniel Kapner wrote an article about the questionable future of the white race. And he said, ultimately, the answer lies in national spiritual revival. And that might seem a little perplexing to many people, but the truth is that we have an obligation as Christians not to succumb to the liberal, humanistic, demographic values of the world, which says that there are too many white people, and Christians also should limit their families to maybe a maximum of two or at most three or whatever. The truth of the matter is that the Chicanos, the Latinos, the Catholics, certainly the Muslims, many other groups, minorities, are expanding in their populations out of religious motives. They believe that the Muslims believe that through propagation of their kind, they will stand a better chance of seeing the establishment of the kingdom of Allah throughout the world, the same way with the Catholics and so on. But this is not an idea of having more children. It is not popularized among Christian Protestants. We buy into these liberal humanistic values that have been inculcated into us in our secular humanistic school system. So what I'm saying in this article is basically it would be a wonderful thing if pastors throughout America could see the need for the preservation of the white race, the preservation of the race that basically founded this nation, established its constitution, has established the primary source of Western civilization for the last 1,000 years or whatever, and could actually encourage from the pulpit, saying, if you have the economic wherewithal, why settle for two children? Why not have a big family? Maybe have 6 or 7 or 8 kids and inculcate in them Christian conservative values. And I use the example of these homeschoolers. If you've ever been to a homeschooler convention, you'll just be amazed at these huge families of these homeschoolers. And they have this religious mission that they are going to make more Christian conservative babies and do their part to offsetting the imbalance caused by the immigration invasion.
I think for lack of a better example, and I don't think this is a poor example at all, the Duggars off of TLC, obviously a famous homeschooling, large Christian white family, 20 kids, 19 kids and counting, that's the name of their show. But there's something there. I mean, 19 is a lot, but blessed are those who have their quiver full, right, Reverend Pike?
Well, I also point out that it's not just in creating more kids, because there is a high level of rebellion among evangelical young people, and even homeschooling kids will rebel if they are too legalistically circumscribed and contained. What I point out is that people should come to our Bible studies at truthtellers.org, where we combine true spirituality, true spiritual depth. We have two Bible studies every week, in-depth theology and practical application of the gospel and authentic Christianity to the world today. We need to combine not only physical propagation of young people as a mission for Christ, but we also need to make sure that they are very deeply grounded, they are saved at an early age, and led into entire consecration to God. That's the most wonderful foundation, not only for success in life, but for success as political activists.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are so fortunate to have had Reverend Ted Pike with us for the entire hour. We're all better for it. Ted, thanks so much for coming back on the show. And we certainly hope to have you back on before Christmas. But if for some reason the stars don't align, we wish you a very Merry Christmas. And thank you so much for your invaluable work. Folks, I can't give it a more heartier endorsement. Go check out truthtellers.org and support the important work of Ted Pike. Ted, we love you, brother. God bless you.
Thank you, James.
Reverend Ted Pike, everybody, truthtellers.org. I'm going to take a break. We'll be back with the third and final hour.